The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome. Welcome to all who are here in person, and welcome to all who are joining us online. It is good to be here together, and together we will experience God in word and in sacraments and in the miracle of God's presence in each other. This is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, and friends, we only have two more Sundays left in this church year. And so we're coming to the end of our year. We're going to be starting Advent very soon. So welcome, and please join me as we begin to worship now. And I invite you all to stand if you are able, knowing that if you are not able, the church stands with and for you. And I invite you to turn and face our baptismal font as we begin worship together. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in the image and placed us in the well-watered garden. I invite you all to join me in these words printed in your bulletin. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched. You don't have that. Well, I invite you to listen as I say our baptismal promises. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. When we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you washed us from Jesus' wounded side. And on this day, you shower us again in the waters of life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our living water, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Stories.
love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For his holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free.
Justice and love. You illuminate our way through life with the word of your Son.
Give us the light we need and awaken us to the needs of others through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And at this point, we invite our children forward, and I know we have a few visitors with us, so there's no pressure here if no one comes forward. Invitation is open. All right. So we are going to enact our parable today from Jesus, because the only way to really get what's being said is to actually do it. So on my left is a group with this flashlight. And on my right is a group of people with this flashlight. And we are now in a dark cave. So use your imagination, pretend that it is dark, this is a cave, and these are our tour guides. I am the guest, our tour guides are here, it is a dark cave, so what do we need to see our way around the world?
Lights.
So this group here turns on their flashlight, and we're ready to go explore this cave, and my group over here turns on there, but it's not working. So, what are our options here today?
New battery.
I'm sorry?
Share.
Yeah. So let's pull out these batteries.
Go to Walmart, get a battery.
Okay, I'm sensing there's going to be a problem here. if we share, there's not going to be any light. So that's probably not such a great idea. What's our other option?
Everybody
come on this side.
There you go.
Or there's a third option. There's always a third option. Let's go get a new flashlight. So I know Dan was specifically handpicked for this purpose, and he has a new flashlight in his hand. It's on the table. So now we have two flashlights, and what do flashlights do? They light. So now we have light, and we can explore this wonderful cave, and my tour guides on this expedition are going to point out a few amazing things about this cave. One is over here, and I'm trying not to blind anybody. Sorry, not blind anybody. Over here is a great, beautiful waterfall. And to the right, they point out that there is a meal prepared in the midst of this cave for us all to share together and experience the beauty and the wonder of this cave. All of that is because we have lights. And that, my friends, is what we are just called to be to the world, is these lights can show the world and our friends and our family, the beauty that is about us, and the love of God which is in our midst. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you
that your love is all
for us. Thank you.
Amen.
Every promise we can make.
Our first reading this morning is from the fifth chapter of Amos. Hear now the word. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. As if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let those who seek my life be put to shame and confounded. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune drop back and be disgraced.
Let those who say to me, aha, and gloat over me, turn back because of their shame.
Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say, forever great is the Lord.
But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me quickly, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer, O Lord. Do not tarry.
The second reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians, beginning at chapter 4. Hear now the word. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds, together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegrooms. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with the lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will be not enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourself. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Sometimes I like doing things a little differently. Sometimes I like taking our traditional view or the traditional way we have heard a text and kind of make a little bit of fun of it. Because this is a very traditional text, a very familiar text, and you're probably all expecting a sermon that goes something like, Christ is coming, be ready, you'll get a reward if you are. And that sermon would be no different than if we were in this room listening to a presentation from the local emergency response coordinator. The earthquake is coming, the tsunami is coming, so be ready, and if you're ready, good things will happen. If you're not ready, bad things will happen. And of course, there'll be a lot of fear in that presentation. And of course, what will most likely be our response to hearing that is this thought that, yeah, we know it's going to happen someday, but probably not in my lifetime, so I'm not that worried, right? Well, I will tell you this, y'all. At one point, I was ready. And Jen will testify, I had crates and crates and crates of food and water scattered throughout the realms of my yard so that if anything happened to one, there'd be another. And then the pandemic came, and I ended up using all my toilet paper. So I'm just as unprepared as the rest. But this way of hearing this text, right? Be ready. If you are, you'll get something. If you're not, you'll not get something. Also about this time of the year starts sounding like another tale that we're about to tell people, right? Santa Claus is coming. If you're a good boy or girl, you're going to get a present. And if you're not, you're going to get some coal. The only difference between these two tales, though, is that we actually believe on the 25th of December, we're going to get a present. And so in honor of this, and with some help of a bunch of chat box and many, many hours, I've created a little poem for you. Nice. 'Twas the night of his return, in splendor and might, not a creature was stirring in darkness or light. The stars in heaven, a celestial ballet, anticipated the coming of the Lord that day. The moon bathed the earth in a soft, silverly glow as angels prepared their radiance aglow. chariot descended from realms on high, guided by 12 angels through the vast expanse of sky. On Michael, on Raphael, on Uriel and Grace, they shimmered like stars, their wings in a race. To banish the darkness and vanquish the gloom, Gabriel led the team with a red crimson plume. But that would get a little chuckle, people. As the Savior approached in his grand chariot's flight, the faithful rejoiced, hearts filled with rapturous delight. Already savoring untold divine rewards, a glimpse of heaven in that moment unfolded. So brace your hearts for his imminent presence. Yet caution echoes for those unprepared. Their hearts unmoved, their souls in darkness snared. In the jubilant scene, a stark divide between those who chose and those who denied. So ready your hearts for this grand event. Lest you miss your chance to repent.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that may be what you're expecting to hear. But that's not what you're going to hear. Because there's some problems with this, right? And problem one is that this vision of the future is reduced to some transaction. You get something because you're good. But beyond that, it's too narrow for what God is doing in Christ. As we are told, Christ is reconciling at this moment all things. And in this coming that we speak of, it's a reconciliation and a redemption of all things. It can't be reduced to some just transaction between you and God. But more importantly, if we look to the future, we miss the present. If all of our focus as a church is something that may or may not occur in our lifetime, we miss the grace and love, and God's presence all around us now. Just think about it for a moment. When Jesus is telling this parable, he is standing there with his followers. They're overlooking the temple. It's days before Passover. Passover being that day when the wedding feast will come, when Christ will be crowned King and Messiah. They are days away. They're expecting this. And a few days before, they saw this grand procession, this marriage procession that started on Palm Sunday with shouts of Hosanna. Do you really think that as Jesus is telling this parable, he's telling it about some distant event or about the unfolding of God's reign now in their presence? They are there to witness God coming into Jerusalem, God about to reconcile all things on the cross. I think what Jesus is saying is, wake up. Be ready, for the present is now. I am here. And I say this after being at the bishop's convocation for a couple days, and we spent hours and hours and hours talking about this point in discussion after discussion, that grace is all around us at this moment. God's presence all around us. And we say, God is present in the water of baptism. God is present in this meal that we are about to take. And Lutherans argue definitively that this is true because Christ is everywhere. You notice in our Apostles' Creed, we say Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And it has always been the church's belief that God is imminent in all things. So friends, find anything, find all things, and just move a little your vision, a little to your right, and that's where Christ is. All around, to be encountered and experienced in the breath we breathe, the food we eat, the love around us, and in these sacred encounters in our sacraments. Friends, that is grace. The question is, are we ready to see it? Are we awake enough to encounter it? And the beauty of Christ all around us is this too, friends, that nature, creation, the universe, has this sacramental, crucified shape to its existence. And there is this pattern of life, death, and resurrection. To encounter that is to encounter grace. But do you see it? Do we believe it? If we were to stroll out into nature, we might come across the blackberry bush that's producing a berry, a fruit. And what do we take with that fruit? We take and we eat for our life. You see the sacramental nature there. Something is given for you to eat. You take and eat. Other animals sacrifice themselves for our nutrition. Everything lives and dies so something else may live again. But we know in that eating and in that death, another great mystery occurs. And that it's not that that element is destroyed, because we know matter is never destroyed, but it is transformed. This sacramental nature of creation is all around us. And this pattern of life, death, and resurrection is all around us. It's in the parent who raises their child and loves their child. And then what is the result of this growth and this life that they knew have? But that child will grow up and leave, leaving a death in a sense in its place so that new life may come. The couples in this room, you all know at some deep level that one of you will have to bury the next. The sacramental, sacrificial aspect of life. And I've never brought a ferret home from the pet store that I did not also know that I have to make another trip with that ferret at some point in their life. That sad and painful trip. And yet we live, we love, we transform, we sacrifice, we give, and around us is God in this world of grace. The only question today is, do we see it? Do we live it? Do we know it? Are we awake? And into this world, God comes. And God sacrifices God's own self so that we may live. So our text today invites us to the table to see, to eat, to be together in this. And our text invites us to go back out into this world as these torch bearers with these great flashlights in hand to show the world how special everything is, that you are holy, that they are holy, that life is holy and sacred. So So shine your lights so that others might see that God is with us, around us, and in us. Amen.
Turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. O God, for whom we wait, come quickly to your people. Bring your salvation and center us in hope found only in you. Deepen our faith through meaningful worship, and send us out with your justice and your truth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, for whom we watch, we glimpse your power in rushing water and your beauty in the darkening night. Restore this creation and provide clean water to all people and animals. Save us from foolish, wasteful living. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, for whom we long, let justice roll down like waters on all nations. Bless citizens with wise leaders. Save your children from support from war. We pray for the veterans of this community that they are supported and loved. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, in whom we hope, we pray for all who are in need. Provide for those who experience homelessness or hunger. Support the under or unemployed. and comfort any who are suffering this day, especially Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Paul, Mike, victims of the war in Ukraine and Israel, earthquake in Morocco, St. Timothy Church recovery efforts in Maui. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, for whom we listen, inspire the music ministry of our congregation. Fill our worship with songs to proclaim your greatness. Help us to sing and dance with joy and tell boldly of your salvation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, in whom we remain, we remember our loved ones who have died and now live in you. Bring comfort and the assurance of new life to all who grieve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. I invite you now to stand as we sing our offering hymn.
Cast me not away from your presence.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our times, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. We thank you, for you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit, bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we, and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing, and grace may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
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 Gathered into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. This is the table of God, the gift of God for the people of God. And all are welcome to this table. In just a minute, the usher will come forward and we ask you to fill in from our aisles from left to right. Come up. From left to right. And you can receive the sacrament either standing or kneeling or whichever position you wish to encounter God in this moment. Know that our table is open for all to come. And if you come, you will receive. If you wish to only receive a blessing, we ask you to come and cross your arms. But know all who come are all who receive. Amen.
Christ.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal, you have set a banquet. Sustain us on the journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children. And give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way.
Amen.
Amen. Now we pause now for a moment for announcements. If there's anyone with an announcement for the good of the order, please raise your hand, and Arnie will come by with the microphone.
We're continuing to collect money to give gift cards to the 11 families who live at Samaritan House. We plan on giving $50 gift cards to each family at the beginning of Thanksgiving week to help them with the costs of buying food for a Thanksgiving celebration and for the long weekend with the children at home. So if you'd like to donate, put Atonement Lutheran Church on your check and write food baskets on the memo line. Thank you.
Any others? So I have a few. I'll promise to keep it quick. We do have Welka on Wednesday. Welka, the women of Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and there's a Bible study from the Gather magazine. If you'd like to be part of that, come here at 12:30. And it's also on Zoom. All are welcome to that gathering. Myself, I've made it clear I will be out this week. I'll be up in Idaho at a new pastor's continuing education event. So next Sunday, please be joyous and welcoming for our guest pastor and listen to his wonderful message. There will be no adult forum next Sunday, so those who show up, please sleep in that extra hour. And for everyone, we are sending out that adult forum link on Tuesday so that if you were not there, you wish to still get the essence of what we talked about, please tune into that link. But it's always much funner when you're there in presence, so that is always open. So with that being said, I will see you all in a week, not next Sunday. I'll be back in the office on Tuesday. Know that it will be in my heart and your prayers. And if you need anything, text or call, but I won't be able to be here until next Tuesday evening. So with that, let us prepare for the blessing. May the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give you reason to rejoice and be glad. The blessing of God, Sovereign Spirit, be with you now and always.
Amen.
Beloveds, go in peace, serve, and love the Lord.